Hi, everyone, and welcome to Remaking Tomorrow, a series of conversations about the future of teaching and learning. I'm Greg Baer, and together with Ryan Rudzeski, we're the co-authors of When You Wonder, You're Learning, Mr. Rogers' Enduring Lessons for Raising Creative, Curious, Caring Kids. We're also the co-hosts of this podcast, but my friend Ryan isn't here today. Instead, and happily so, I'm here with a special guest host, Emma Swift Lee, Executive Director of the Fred Rogers Institute. Emma, welcome to Remaking Tomorrow.
Hi, Greg. It is so wonderful to be here. This is a podcast powered by Remake Learning, a network that ignites engaging and relevant learning in support of young people navigating rapid social and technological change.
And on today's episode, we're talking with Coy Bowles, an author, educator, advocate, and musician known best for his work as a guitarist for the Grammy Award-winning Zac Brown Band. Coy, welcome to Remaking Tomorrow.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. So, Coy, you might know that here at Remaking Tomorrow, we take deep and daily inspiration from our favorite neighbor, Mr. Rogers. Sometimes people are surprised to know that first and foremost, Fred Rogers actually considered himself to be a musician. He was the creator and host of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, of course, and Fred regularly featured world-class musicians on the program, from trumpeter Wynton Marsalis and cellist Yo-Yo Ma, and of course the neighborhood's very own pianist Johnny Costa and guitar-playing handyman Joe Negri. Fred demonstrated the ways that his television neighbors can use music to express themselves to the world around them. So, Coy, how do you use music to express yourself?
Whoa, we're going to start with a deep one, huh? I think that I started playing music as a way to connect with a feeling inside myself that I wasn't sure exactly what it was, what it meant, and if it was good or bad. Because it was a feeling inside of me that sometimes could feel good and sometimes could also feel bad. On the good part, it felt enthusiastic, it felt inspired, it felt very alive and growing. And the downside was that there was a similar feeling of not being understood or feeling lonely that I would also connect with music. As I've grown older, I've realized that those are now separate feelings. But as a 11-year-old kid, it felt like one thing inside of me that would be great feeling and then not so great feeling. And music was the thing that connected with that thing inside of me. As I've grown older, I've realized that connecting to music is also a way of connecting to other people and either cause them to have a 3 or 4 minute timeout to where they escape the world for a second and get that kind of release that they're looking for. Or it can also be like a pressure valve release to where these emotions that they might or might not know that they have going on, when they connect with the music, that music allows for a safe place for those emotions to kind of bubble up and bubble out some.
It's actually incredible that you use the word inside. Emma just referenced Mr. Rogers, and it was Fred who liked to say that music is the one art we all have inside. Now, we don't discover that on our own typically. So I'm curious, is there someone who at age 11 helped you to discover that music inside? Or maybe someone today who's helping you to discover the ways in which music can help you connect with others?
When I was a kid, I grew up in a small town. I wasn't really exposed to a lot. There wasn't a lot of music around me, but my parents listened to a lot of music in the house and in the car, particularly like music that they grew up with and top 40 kind of popular music at the time in the 80s. So honestly, as a really young kid, Fred Rogers was where I saw a piano player. I distinctly remember seeing somebody play a giant instrument that was an upright bass and thinking like, wow, that thing does this weird doopy, doopy, doopy sound, and being really excited about that kind of stuff. As far as music now, I've been really lucky to be a part of a scene in Atlanta that was really gritty and connected. And a lot of those people have actually found their way to success in a very national / international level. And one of my favorite things in life now is that some of my best friends 20 years ago are now my favorite musicians, and I get to go see them play. Like, I just recently went to this club in Atlanta and got to see the Wood Brothers, which Oliver Wood is one of my best friends, favorite musicians, and a mentor of mine. So oddly enough, my really old friends are now my favorite musicians who are inspiring me in a different way than us just hanging out.
Koi, I can picture you as a young person watching Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood when Fred is sitting at the piano and showing us how he pounds out the music when he's feeling angry. I'm thinking about what you said about music being this way you connected and understood what was happening inside of you. And that was so what Mr. Rogers used music for on the show. So thank you for telling us about that. I wanted to ask you too about this other part of you. So some people might be surprised to learn that in addition to touring the world as a member of the Zac Brown Band, you're also the author of 6 children's books that are designed to support children's creativity and social emotional learning. So what took you down that road?
So when the band first took off, we were traveling a lot, and I was used to writing songs as like my own mental health cleansing and reflection. But it's really hard to write songs when you're on a bus with 12 people. There's not a lot of space to kind of have to yourself. So I started writing short stories, and ultimately I wrote a short story and read it to Zach. And he had kids at the time. I didn't have kids or was not married. And he said, man, you know, that's a really good children's book, actually. He's like, we read, you know, to the kids every night. And I could totally see that being a book. And it was like this kind of part of my brain opened up. And I, you know, heard this voice say, you know, this is the thing. This is what you're going to do. I taught guitar lessons for a long time. And I really connected with kids before we went out on the road. So I really missed connecting with kids. Even further than that, I just quintessentially think that education is the most important thing in our country as far as top priority. Our education system needs a lot of help. One of my favorite groups of people who have a career is teachers. I mean, especially early education teachers. I've been in that environment for a considerable amount of time now, but when I first jumped in, I remember going to a NAACI conference and meeting a lot of early education teachers for the first time. I was like, really nervous because I have tattoos and a beard and a hat, and it's just going to be very standout. But I ended up meeting a lot of people. I heard the most beautiful stories I've ever heard in my life about why someone does something, because there's not a lot of praise and the money's not great. So the only reason why you would do it would be because of this. I had a teacher say to me, I feel like kids aren't as imaginative as they used to be. And it reminded me of the same feeling I had when I was watching The NeverEnding Story and the nothing was coming. I just was like, oh no, that's horrible. And you're either a part of the problem or you're part of the solution. And at that point, I was like, I want to be a part of the solution and making sure that no teacher ever says, I feel like kids aren't as imaginative as they used to be. And the only way to do that is to get to work, to start writing songs, to start writing books, working with different companies, collaborating. And, you know, here I am 15 years after my first children's book. And I think the 8th one is in going to the printers now. So
it's so amazing, Koi. I love to picture you there in a classroom full of lots of little kids. Maybe they're crawling on you, like you're reading with them. I can just imagine the joy in that moment. So bit of a crazy question. Is there any parallel between playing in a concert venue and reading to a class full of kids?
Yeah, there is some parallel, that just that connectivity of like on a really human basis, you know, like sharing at its core, a story or a song. I work really hard on trying to stay connected with a kid-like imagination myself. And I've found that adults who have very kid-like abilities and frames of mind, they're more imaginative, they're generally more creative, they're more open-minded. And that is something that I find to be very inspirational. So when working with kids in an environment to where I'm reading them a book, I feel like really in that moment, anything is possible. I could just start making up a story and they would go with me, or they would call me out and be like, no, that's not real. And it's just so down to the core of what it's like to be a human to me is to interact with those kids. Whereas when you're playing for adults, there's a certain amount of understanding that we're all adults now. And I love that energy, don't get me wrong, but there's something about hanging out with kids that is just really, really inspiring in the sense of their imagination and their creativity and their open-mindedness to kind of sway and go anywhere and talk about things. A lot of times I show up and before I read, I say, guys, aren't you so glad it's Friday? And about half of the room is like, dude, it's Tuesday. What are you talking about? And the other guys are like, yeah, it's Friday. And we just start having to like kind of play around with like, what if it was Friday though? Can we make every day Friday? We kind of can, right? I mean, there are no rules. We can name Tuesday Friday or make Tuesday feel like a Friday. And I just love that, man. That just freedom of play.
I love it too. This is Greg Bear here with guest co-host Emma Swift Lee. And we're talking with musician, author, and educator Coy Bowles.
Coy, you have such an obvious love of children and their imagination and playful spirit. And I want to ask you, too, about your work with caregivers. At the Fred Rogers Institute, we talk a lot about how if you want to invest in children, you can't skip over the adults in their lives. And caregivers can go to your website and sign up for what you call COYCO, which is hands-on at-home activities designed to spark imagination and curiosity that are emailed to caregivers' inboxes every month. So I'd love for you to tell us more about COYCO and how you hope that caregivers will use it.
Yeah, so COYCO stands for Creative Opportunity Yields Creative Output, which is basically what a caregiver's job is. Your job as a caregiver with a kid is to just give them the opportunity so that they can create the output, you know? So if you give them a pen and a piece of paper, then they can draw or they can write a story. If you give them love, they will in turn learn how to love other people. I just did a partnership with the Children's Hospital of Atlanta, and we did a video series on advice for caregivers and how they can stay connected with their kids and in their lives. And the one thing that I took away from really diving in that and trying to find my wording on what I really meant, I mean, there's every day I feel like I've failed my kids in some way or another, you know, and then there's days where I feel like, okay, I'm a pretty good dad. And that's just part of being a caregiver and being in a kid's life. You're not going to do everything right. But the main thing that I took away from all that was you just got to keep showing up. That's all a kid really needs. They just need you to keep showing up. And if it gets frustrating or it gets hard, just kind of reset. You know, it's okay to be like, man, I wasn't that great at being a caregiver or a dad or a mom or an uncle or a mentor yesterday. But today, you can try to reset as much as you possibly can. But the most important thing is to just to keep trying. My biggest advice for anybody who's listening is just, it's tough and you just got to keep showing up.
Coy, you are a prolific artist, and you've written so many books already. I want to ask you about one book in particular. It's entitled Every Amazing Story, A Writing Adventure with Coy and Malcolm. Can you tell us what inspired this story, and how do you hope that children and their caring adults will use this one, as well as the other pieces you've published?
So Malcolm and I became friends through the state of Georgia. The state of Georgia has a program to where they find local authors and commission them to write a book. And then that book goes out to the pre-K programs in Georgia. It's very, very cool programming. Malcolm and I met through that and just became kindred souls. And he's one of the coolest, most creative, most passionate people I've ever met. Oddly enough, he lives like 10 minutes from me. We're talking with the state and they were like, what do you guys think about writing a book together? So we sat in a room and we wrote a couple stories and we turned them in and they were like, you know, this one's a little bit this is a little bit that. And they were very positive about it. But ultimately, we're missing the mark. Like, we're not diving into who we are. So how do we do this? And so I said, well, you write children's books and I write children's books. Why don't we write a story about us writing a story? And he was like, wow, that's cool. He's like, it can get a little bit confusing because it's a story about a story. I was like, I think we can figure that part out without it being confusing, you know? And so ultimately, we wrote this really cool book about us going on an adventure to find this book that's on the top of a mountain. The book is named Every Amazing Story. And in that book is every amazing story that's ever been written. But during that process, we're teaching the kids how to write a story as well. So where they're teaching them about story arc and the beginning, the middle, and the end, and conflict resolution and characters, and all of these really cool elements of story writing. And at the end, we find this amazing book and inspire kids to tell their own story, you know, through this process of learning these key elements of storytelling. But I'll tell you this, Malcolm Mitchell is one of the coolest, most creative, most awesome guys, when we get around each other, we laugh a lot. We're actually working on another book right now together. That whole thing, writing that book with him, has been one of the coolest things I've ever done in my life.
Coy, you're such a storyteller, and you've done it through music and now through books. You've cited a lot of musicians that have been really important influences for you. And I wonder, who would you consider to be your influences as a children's author and as an advocate for early learning?
I don't think I pull a lot of inspiration from other children's authors. I think I pull a lot of inspiration from children's movies. And I definitely reflect back on my experience of a kid and what were the things that I thought were cool. And Fred Rogers is a big part of that. Particularly, there's a fine balance for my person. Me inside, I'm a very passionate, very energetic kind of soul. But I also know that kids can kind of receive that energy in a way that they can get to where their ears can shut off and they get excited and want to jump around, but they're not like listening the best. So one of the things that I've really tried to do is find this energy with inside of me that is cool, inspirational, very energetic, but is also calm and kind of collected. And I feel like I pull a lot of that inspiration from him. He was very good at like delivering a message with some kind of like very calm and passionate energy.
I love that. It's completely fascinating. And we want to close this conversation with what's a bit jazz-like. We like to close with a lightning round. So we want to ask some questions that get us to know you, Coy, a little bit better. The first ideas that come to your mind as I ask these questions. You ready to play?
Let's go.
Okay, so you're a fellow girl dad. So I know, yes. I love you, right? do you have a favorite song or two you love to sing with your girls?
Yes. Buttercup. So why do you build me up? I tried to get my girls into some oldies, and that's the one song that they really connected with. And there's that buttercup baby just to let me down. So they do the background harmonies, or one of them will sing and then we'll do the background harmonies, the other two, whether it's me and one of the other daughters. So yes.
I'm predicting a wedding moment decades from now. I see it.
Totally.
All right. Do you have a favorite book from when you were a child or one that you'd like to read with your girls now?
Being in as my imagination is one thing that is probably my superpower and I can't really turn off. I've spent more time with my daughters telling them about this dog that I had named Captain Tutty, who that was his real name, but he could talk. He was a detective. And he could communicate with me. And so I spent more time with my daughters telling stories about Captain Tutty and his adventures that he goes on and making them up in the spot to where my favorite children's books or stories that I've ever shared with them are the ones that I just improv on the spot.
Well, you can tell them about the time that Captain Tutty went on a podcast. How about that one?
Yeah, totally.
All right. What's something about being a professional musician that most of us probably have no idea?
There's a motto that has been passed around that says, don't meet your heroes. And I would say that I've found that to be the exact opposite. As a professional musician, I've had the opportunity to play with some of my heroes and some of the greatest musicians of all time. And I have been very lucky and profoundly blessed in that almost every single person that I've met that I have a huge amount of respect for is just as beautiful and just as amazing and talented and lovely as I would have ever expected them to be, if not more. Like Dolly Parton is every bit of the queen of all beautiful people who's ever lived. I mean, she's just the coolest person. And when she walked in the room, the air changed in the most beautiful way.
And what's something about being a children's writer that most of us don't know?
There is one way that you do it where you do it with a publisher. And then there's the way I do it, which is rogue. And that way has not been clearly defined yet. So I'm still figuring out the lay of the land and just basically this, if you build it, they will come kind of philosophy. So it is a very uncharted territory, in my opinion, for being a self-published children's author in this day and age.
And Coy, before we go, just one more question. What's one thing that parents and educators can do today to make tomorrow a more promising place for every learner?
if parents and educators realize that the 0 to 7 age range is the most important part of a person's life, probably, statistically showing through research, and maybe try to reflect on when you were growing up, did anyone ever say, I can't do that right now because I'm on my phone, give me a second? I feel like the phone is the biggest barrier for the connectivity with kids. I think if any advice that I could say is to, for the teacher, it would be realize why you started doing this in the first place. It's because it's your calling, and just stay as connected with that as you possibly can. And for the parents, I would say, try to reflect on and remember back. And if you ever had your parents tell you, hold on, I'm sending this email. If not, then maybe we should try to intentionally prioritize the kids in the best way we can. Easier said than done, don't get me wrong. Life's moving fast and there's a lot of things to do to keep the food on the table and lights on and stuff. But ultimately, I think taking a beat and just putting it down for 10 minutes while they really need you.
It was great to learn from you today, Coy. Thanks again to musician, author, and educator Coy Bowles. Remaking Tomorrow is powered by Remake Learning. Learn more at remakelearning.org.